But I'm going to pray for us, and as we kick off Kids Church again and caring for each other, and I'll ask you to pray with me. We'll put our hands together and we'll close our eyes and we'll say amen together at the end, okay? Dear Lord, we want to thank you so much for bringing the Watts family here with us. We pray, Lord, as they shared a little bit of the things that have troubled them in recent times, thank you that you care for us and help us to care for one another as we come together in as this team. And Lord God, we pray that as our kids' church starts, thank you so much for our kids' church leaders and ask that you may give them a great time together and bless them in what they do and grow them in what they understand and know of you. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Because basically we're going to share a covenant of care together. There is a mutual part of the covenant. There's a part where the people make an agreement to the pastor and then a pastor made an agreement to the people. So there's mutual responsibilities and you can start having a look at them. There's two pages of or two screens of them. Vanessa's just going to jot us through there. And then I've asked Mary is going to take us through the next part for the people to the pastor, because Vanessa, Mary and me were on the pastoral search team. And we were on that team as we looked for the Watts, and the Lord led us to the Watts. So, as we got together as a youth group this week, and I jumped in with the youth group this week as we met at the Georges, and Tim was there as well, I was reminded in Romans 1 where it talks about, actually about a spiritual gift. Paul says, I want to give you a spiritual gift. And he says that, and he actually says, I want it to be mutual. So I want to benefit from this as well. And you bless me and I'll bless you and I'll bless you. As he talks in Romans 1 about a mutual blessing that comes. And part of this promise is we have, mutual promises that we actually make as well. And there's responsibilities from both parties. As we promise, as a church, and as the pastor, or the pastor promises what they're to do as well in this covenant. So that kind of introduces us to it. In once we go through the three sections, then we're going to sign it at the end as well, and Tim will sign it, I'll sign it, and the rest of the leadership will sign that and we'll date that, and that helps us kind of commit to what we're actually saying we're going to do, right? All on board? Good. Okay. Mary, do you want to remind us of the people to pastor?
Yeah, sure. So with this part of the covenant, I was reminded that we are doing this already since the Watts have been here and before they came. So that's great. As a family, we're already fulfilling our part of the covenant, but we need to keep on going. It's like having a baby and you get prepared for a baby and you're so excited about the baby coming and you do all the preparation. And then the baby arrives. And you just don't sit back and say, well, that's great, the baby's here. Well, just sit down now and do nothing. Because now the baby's here, we've got to be committed, and we're committed to that baby. And that's what we're doing with the Watts. We're committed to them as part of our new church family. And when I went through this covenant, our responsibility, I looked at action words. And the action words are accept and encourage, provide, respect. And looking at the first one, I thought, encourage. Spiritually, we've got to pray and continue to pray for them and to have a positive attitude about what they'll be doing, what Tim will be doing, Pastor Tim will be doing in our church. We accept the responsibility of providing for the physical and financial needs. And this is a personal challenge for me because I had to think about reallocating my funds, about what I was going to do with the funds that I give and who I give it to. So I've had to have a really big prayerful think about this recently. How much am I giving to other well-meaning and well-deserved needs in the world, and how much am I giving to my church family and their needs? So that's a personal challenge, because we've promised to look after Pastor Tim and his family for 2 days a week. We'd love to see that increased. We agree to respect appropriate boundaries. That means we do not ring or text Pastor Tim at 3 o'clock in the morning with an idea that we've got for junior church. We don't overburden them with things that we think are really important when we're asking him to be the youth and children's pastor. We've got to allow him to pray through things and work out things that are his priorities, not our priorities. So that's a really important one. Not overcrowd them as a family, allow them time to settle in, but also extending legitimate friendship to them. We have issues. If we have issues and concerns about the pastor and his ministry, we don't start gossiping and whinging and complaining, and sometimes kids can get things misinterpreted. I remember when I was out in kids' church once, a grandma had brought her child to church and she approached me later and she said, so-and-so said such and such, and did you say da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And she did it very lovingly, and I was able to explain to her what I said, and we understood that there was a bit of a misunderstanding and we had a bit of a giggle about it. But that lovely grandma did not go around saying, did you know that Mary did this, 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 this and this, and don't you think you should have done that, 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 that. She didn't gossip. She just came to me and we solved the problem. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to take our concerns first directly to Tim. And there will be concerns with our kids because our kids are precious. And sometimes as parents and grandparents we get a bit over-precious with our kids. Sorry, kids. We love you. We affirm that the child, youth and family pastor is called to lead that ministry. Now, this role may look different. It might not be what we expect. He's only here for 2 days a week. He's not Super Tim. He's a husband, a father, and he is our pastor, our children's pastor, and he will lead us and the kids the way he feels God is wanting him to do that. And that role might change. It might, as our dynamics of our church might change, it will change too. As these kids grow up, as they get older, as more kids come. Come on in. The last one, we accept responsibility for our part of the administrative aspects of the covenant. And I thought, oh, that's a Lloyd thing. What does that mean, Lloyd? And I had to think about it and work it out. And it was, I thought, it overarches over all the things that we are promising to do. We've got to ask God, what is our part of this covenant? What does God want us to do as part of the covenant between us and Tim? Does he want us to give more finances? Does he want us to be a helper or a teacher in kids' church? Does he want us to really get beside the family? Offer hospitality. We're already doing this, and I thank all those families that are looking after the Watts. So that's just a brief run through. Go through that, and remember, it's not a new baby who we sit back and don't do anything with. The action has started, and it'll be ongoing for as long as Tim and his family are here.
Thank you, Mary. Yeah, I'll pass that on to Vanessa for a sec. I'll run through the pastor of people stuff, because it was a good reminder for me to look at this. This was something that was at my commissioning or induction as well, and reminded me that I need to be maintaining my spiritual, emotional and physical health. So I've been running with the dog each morning for that. No, but seriously, it's a good reminder for me to think about how am I doing this, and as a pastor, and as Tim as a pastor too, how we do this. Again, there's a thing, if we have disagreements, how we work that out and how to do that in a good way. And as a pastor too, thirdly, not to lord it over people, but to lead them in love there. And also to be accountable in our ministry. So as a pastor and me as a pastor and as Tim as a pastor to do that. Now this position also brings, on this next slide, brings responsibility as well. And different relationships have different power responsibilities, and just thinking about how we use that as a pastor. So this is something that needs to be on my and Tim's mind, and as we go about that. And our working relationship, which you want to have with a mentor. So have someone outside of our context who can help guide us and help us in our stepping forward and growing and developing personally as a pastor. And there's also, yeah, other professional development stuff which you want to commit to as well. And lastly is Tim's commitment to as a child, youth and family pastor. Thanks. So I'll hand over quickly to Vanessa, and she'll run us through the mutual things that we're agreeing to do as from the pastor to the people, now just mutually, and then mutually we're going to actually remind each other of God's word. You guys are going to help us do that.
Okay, so in terms of the covenant of care, we accept that as a church community we have a mutual responsibility of care and accountability, first and foremost to God, but to each other for the common good. So we acknowledge that the church belongs not to the pastor, but nor to the people, but actually to Jesus. Mm. So it's not our church, but it's his church. Mm. We also accept responsibility that we have a responsibility to love each other in attention, attitude, behaviour and word. We agree that in matters of conflict, we will submit ourselves to the principles expressed by Jesus in Matthew 18:15-20 and Matthew 5:23-26, and also refer to the church's conflict resolution policy. And this sounds good in theory, in practice it's very difficult. And I think all churches, all communities, all organisations have a great deal of difficulty, particularly with dealing and managing conflict. And I think first and foremost we need to pray as a church that we accept this responsibility, that we learn more about the church's conflict resolution policy, and we also first and foremost go to the Bible. What does Jesus tell us to do in times of conflict? We aim that our communications with each other will be honest, transparent and candid, as Mary suggested, and Tim and Trent. So we reject gossip, innuendo, suspicion. We agree to ongoing annual review of how the covenant of care is working out across the life of Alstonville Baptist Church. We accept the responsibility to pray for each other's good. We look to the good of each person. We accept responsibility to pray for each other's good, not each other's demise. We accept the Bible as the ultimate word of authority in all matters of faith and conduct. And as believers, we see each other as Christ sees us, full of grace, forgiven and adopted family members, thanks to his grace and mercy.
Yeah, thank you. That is a whole lot of words, but we've got to work out how that works out in action. Good stuff. Great. Now, I'm going to ask Tim and Akshay to move to the middle of our gathering, and we're just going to pray for them and pray over them as well. And I'll ask you if you want to encourage them by placing your hand on them, and maybe we can all network and place our hand together to remind us of this covenant that we have made and promise we have made. So if you want to move to the centre of the aisle there. And I also ask them if they're happy for us to anoint them with a little bit of oil to remind them of this kind of commissioning. And this is olive oil with frankincense. I got it while I was in Israel. But yes, how about we all stand and place a hand on them, and then we'll pray over them. And I'll remind them with this oil, and hopefully this nice frankincense will remind them of our Lord and remind them of the commissioning and the call upon your life today. Lord God, we thank you so much for this time together as brothers and sisters and as a church family as we take a step forward and a new page, a new chapter. We thank you for this, Lord God. We pray for those promises we've just made to each other, that you, Lord, will remind us of those things, and you, Lord, will help us to keep those promises. We look to you, and we look to you for strength to do that, and we ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. I'm going to invite Tim forward, and he just wants to share a word. If you take a seat.
Thank you very much for your warm welcome, and it's been a really warm welcome because you put the sun out for the last week we've been here, so I know that it never rains up here. It must always be sunshine. No, I know that's not really true. So thank you so much. Well, Trent talked about troubles and things, so we mentioned about the house and everything. I think also a part of me, even coming here, you do have fears. I mean, I've done a lot of work in churches for some time. And as a school teacher. So I know I've got certain gifts and abilities to share, but I also know that new situations, new places, there's always the times you're gonna fail and you're going to not necessarily do things well. And so in preparing for today, I was thinking the first thing you need to know about me is I'm actually a sinner and I need a lot of grace. And so I'm really thankful that with this commissioning service, it's really coming through the covenant of care, that we care for each other and we know that we both fail. We all will fail at different times, but we show grace to each other. Because it's one thing that almost is certain. We look at all the covenants that God made with his people in the Bible. They failed. But the thing that's even more certain than that is that God's grace covered them and he never gave up on them. And I really appreciate that we can have that where we can show grace to one another and to grow in love with each other and to bring blessing to each other and to our community that we are part of here as well today. So thank you so much for your welcome. Thank you.
Mark, we're going to have the scripture readings now.
So the first reading I'm told here today is Ephesians 4. So if you could turn to Ephesians 4, and it'll be verses 17 to 24. Mine says, living as children of light. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteousness and holy. So the second reading today is John chapter 14 and it's verses 1 to 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Anna's going to pray for us as a church.
Shalom. Oh, while the offering is being taken, can I bring this word that I believe the Lord told me to bring from his word? And I think it fits in with our covenant of care, although I didn't know what the covenant of care was going to be and so on. And with resolution of conflict, and anyway, I'll read the word. God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has given us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us, be reconciled to God. What a privilege that is. I feel the Lord wants me to emphasise thanksgiving as I pray. So let us pray. Father, we come and we thank you with grateful hearts, with joy and thanksgiving, for you, our Father, are so wonderful. You are so great in might and power. But you love us each as an individual, and you call us each by name. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, our Father, that you have reconciled us to yourself through Yeshua, through Jesus, who is our Saviour and who leads us daily in all that we do. Father, that you've placed us as your people in families and in your family, and we thank you for that. And you've asked us to love and care for each other. Father, we thank you that we're not alone. But we thank you, our Father, for your great love to us and the love, that love that you want us to express for one another. Father, for those who are facing difficulties, for those who are facing trials and situations that are causing them perhaps pain and concern, Father, we thank you for your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you are working out all things together that for our good, that we would become more like Jesus, our Saviour. Father, we thank you that you have said the plans you have for all of us are good and for us as a fellowship. And Father, I ask especially this morning for Ian and Mary Nunn and their family in the situation that they're facing at the moment. And thank you with them for your presence constantly with them, for the peace that you give that passes all understanding. And Father, for the hope that is theirs. Father, we thank you that you've said that you are our healer. And so we ask, our Father, for your hand of healing to be upon Ian. Father, thanking you that in all things you are working for his good and for the good of his family. And we bless you and thank you for that. Father, we thank you for Tim and Ashka who have come amongst us. We thank you for all the way that you have provided for them in their transfer from Victoria to here. Father, we know that you will overrule in all the business of them purchasing a house here and the sale of their house in Victoria. Father, we know too that in all of that, it will be not only for their good, but for the good of the ones who are wanting to buy their house and the one who is selling the house to them. Father, you are so good in all that you do. Father, for opportunities of our people to serve in various ways. For Jody and Alison as they go to Kairos this week, we thank you for the words of encouragement and hope and comfort that you'll give to those families of those prisoners. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we continue to have in this land to teach scripture. We thank you for Tim's work that he's been able to do the last week and this coming week at Summerland. And Father, for all our scripture teachers as they go forth each week into the schools, may you continue to use them. May the seed that is sown by them week by week take root and grow. And Father, for those children that they will hear from these teachers about Jesus, something that they may not hear anywhere else in their life. So we thank you for those opportunities. And we thank you too, Father, that we as a fellowship, we as a group of people here, are able to support in so many other works, and especially at this time where I just think of those with whom we can pray and share in giving, with Bruce at the high school, with the Simpsons at the university, for Colleen and Roger in Lois, and for John and Regine in China. Father, for their ministry, may their lives, their words, their motivations, their attitudes be seen by all to whom they minister, and may all of this lead to many people coming to know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And Father, for our brothers and sisters worldwide who are facing persecution, we thank you, our Father, for your promise that you will be with them. We thank you for the many testimonies of people who in severe persecution have felt the arms of Jesus around them, supporting and keeping them. We thank you, Father, for your love for all of these people. And we thank you, our Father, that each one of us is called, that we have a ministry of reconciliation. And as we walk forward into this week, may each day we keep our eyes on Jesus. May we look to him. May you use us, Father, to bring the message of Jesus as Saviour, but also, Father, in our relationships with other people, Father, that we might be, where necessary, reconcilers, peacemakers, showing the love, the mercy, the grace, and the wonder of the life of Jesus our Lord and our Saviour. And we ask in all of this, Father, in his name, knowing that he is the great intercessor, always lives to make intercession for us, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Okay, friends, on the screen you'll see that we're travelling through John, and John 14 to 17. Now, this is a new series. We're going to be doing this for 2 months, and hopefully this, I'll just give you a quick orientation to chapters 14 to 17. We're going to hopefully pick up the ideas that will keep coming out of this of being a member of Christ, a member of his body, and on his team, and this is a word to his team, the body that he has with him. That idea of being a member of the body hopefully will come out of as we see John 14 to 17. Now, John 14 to 17 is really actually a commissioning service that Jesus has for his disciples before he leaves them. And so those chapters take up that service. And we've just had kind of a commissioning service here. But just before it in John 13, we know that there's only the 11 there because Judas has left. So the 12th one has left the room. And this is the commissioning service. So we hear the conversation of what happens. There's questions from those who are within his body there, the body of believers that are with him, the 11 there. And if you have a red letter edition, it's lots of red pages. Have you noticed? Take a check it out. There's lots of red because Jesus is talking. And Jesus is speaking to his followers there. And then at the end of it, a whole chapter, he prays for them. Now, on your insert that you got there, wave that around for me just so and show you got the back. See the picture on the back? At ABCH, we've come up with our purpose, and it's this idea of commission. And so we want to commission with Jesus to make and multiply his followers. And so that's the pathway that we kind of came up with. That's just up the top there, our purpose statement. Now, the what start with us today. And we had our commissioning with them today. I remember a month or a half ago, I rang Tim, and we were in our stool series. And I said to him, do you want to come fish with us? When I called him, when he answered the phone, I said, do you want to come and fish with us? Because we were thinking about come see, come follow, come fish. If you weren't here for the stool series, the stool series was about Jesus' call on people's life to come see, come follow, come fish, and go bear fruit. And if you were to go back into John, you'd see at John 1, he actually said to Peter, come see. Or Andrew said to Peter, come and see, because Jesus had said that to him. And then Philip came and saw, and then Jesus said to Philip, come follow. And in John 13, then Peter pipes up here when you get to John 13, and he says, you know, I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, I want to follow. And Jesus will say, well, actually, you won't follow me everywhere, but this is what's going to happen. Now, that little bit is important for what happens after chapter 17 and also at the end of the book, because Peter will go and disown Jesus as he's arrested in 17, 18, and 19 and 20. We looked at that at Passover and Easter. And then in 21, he's reinstated. And we're going to look at that at the end, at the very final of this series as well. So we've covered John, or our gospel for the year. But that's John 14 to 17. That gives you a quick orientation. You with me? It's the commissioning service for his disciples before he says, go and make disciples, and commissions them to do that. But now I'm going to give you a little quick intro and orientation to John 14, 1-14. I pretty much probably don't have to do, because a lot of you have heard it at funerals. It's a pretty famous funeral one. And even on Friday, guess what the reading was? Guess what was preached on? Dorothy Crawford, in her 99 years, decided that it was good for the people to hear. The last thing for them to hear, and what she desired them to hear, was John 14, this passage. And that was read out, that was preached on Friday. And basically, there's kind of three questions which come from these disciples, which give us these three sections which follow. And we'll just have a look at these three sections as we go through. But before Peter starts the questioning, so in chapter 13, Peter will say, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Why can't I come? Basically. And then Jesus goes on to start John 14, verse 1, and he says, and then well, now Thomas has a question. And his question is in verse 5. Did you notice his question? We don't know where you're going, so we don't know the way. And then there's the next section where Jesus follows on and talks to him as well. And all through John, they're having this trouble working out what Jesus is talking about sometimes. You know, they're always thinking very physical things. But Jesus is speaking deeper than that. And so even in this conversation later on in chapter 16, they say, what do you mean? See you now, see you not, see you again. What are you talking about? And they're trying to work it out. If you were to go to earlier in John 4, when he says, you know, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. That's after he's met the woman. He says, I've had food. They're going, what? Did someone bring him, you know, falafels? Or did someone bring him shawarma? Well, that's just what we got offered when we were in Israel all the time. It was either lunch, was those two options, falafel or shawarma. If you go to the chapter before that in chapter 3, chapter 3, a pretty famous chapter, he's talking about being born again. And, you know, another birth, okay? And Nick's going, I'm talking about Nicodemus, yeah? Nicodemus is going, born again, how does that work? And so there's this wrestle of them trying to work out what Jesus is talking about. In chapter 16, they say, now you're speaking plainly. You come from the Father, you're going back to the Father. And so they kind of start to put all this together. But in this third question, or third statement, which is kind of like a question as well, Philip just says, you know, just show us the Father, okay? He's kind of exasperated a bit. In verse 8 he says, just show us the Father. Or can you show us the Father? And then again we're reminded in chapter 16 he says, you believe, you understand at last. It's like Jesus goes, oh, they believe, finally, okay. And you know what he does then? I better pray for him then. So he spends a chapter praying for him. I'm going to do that now, and then we'll get into verse 1. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your Spirit, and we thank you for this time now that we can listen to your word, hear what it has to say, and Lord God, we ask that you will help us to believe, not only to believe what it says, but to do what it says. And we ask this in your grace and in your name. Amen. Okay, John 1, I'm just going to break it up in those three sections. So we're going to look at the first bit in verse 1 to 4, and this is really about the trouble and trust. So, you know, Peter's asked the question, why can I come? And then Jesus says, belief is a big idea in John. It's a Johannine, which they call it, a Johannine word. There's other Johannine words. That's just a fancy way of saying from John's Gospel. What are the words or topics, items that John talks about? Tell me, call some out. Come on. Okay, don't knock me over. Just one at a time, please. The I am statements. Okay, yes, he says I am a lot through John. That's good. Any other things? What other words or topics? He talks about God's love, yes, and particularly in his other letters as well, yeah? Okay, 1 John, 2 John, it's all a lot about love, right? Yep, good. Any others? Obeying, obedience, yep. Any others? Light, excellent, light's a big one, that thinks. He talks a lot about the world as well, doesn't he? And many times he mentions the world, yeah? He talks a lot about life, light. These are all John kind of words and repeated. If you do a word study, do a search on them, see how many times they come up. Hits, lots of hits. He says here, do not let your hearts be troubled. He says, trust, believe. Believe. From chapter 1 he's been saying that. Chapter 1 he says, his own didn't receive him, but to all who believed, what did he? He begave the right to become children of God. In chapter 3, the famous part, he says to all whoever believes and whoever rejects will not see life. In chapter 16, as I just mentioned, he says, you believe, yes, Jesus says himself. In 20, when you get to the end, these things are written that you may believe, and by believing have life. There's all these repeated words. Four times in this passage, I think I see here, he says, believe. And he's not just saying, it's a command. He's saying, obey me in this. He's saying, believe me, trust me. It's not a kind of optional extra. He's calling faith, he's calling trust, to trust him with something. And so the real question for us straight away is, do we trust him? Do you trust him with the troubles, the troubled things that have been troubling you this week? Do you trust him with those things? You know, I watched... did anyone watch the Four Corners with the Thai kids and the soccer team and the coach? I watched it and watched it with my family. It was our little family thing we did yesterday. And amazing little documentary. I endorse it to you. But I tell you what, when you see the mothers give their little testimony, the worry, the troubles of the troubled hearts of the mothers in that story. They waited over a week just to know they were alive, and then it was like a week to get them out. And I tell you what, the trouble that you saw in the faces of those mothers as they testified to that. Well, Peter here, he says, why can't I come? He's troubled by this. Can't I come with you? And Jesus says to him, well, basically you're telling him, I've got something for you to do here now. You will come later. Trust me, disciples need to not to be troubled, but to trust the master. And he says to them here, and I want to encourage you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. If I was to ask you to write down what is the thing that has most troubled you this week, what did you write? If you've got a notepad there or you've got notes to put there, if you were to put down what is the thing that is really giving you some worry in your heart, what is it you would write down? And the single most troubling event or issue for you right now is your reception place burnt down because it's in Rouse Road. Now, there is a couple here I'm preparing for marriage, and they're going to see what happened to the actual reception place. If you didn't know, there was a fire on Rouse Road, and their marriage is only a month out. maybe that was something that worried you or was on your heart or troubled you, and they're going to see what happened with that this afternoon. Maybe it's results from a doctor that has troubled you. What's the results going to be from the doctor? Maybe it is a place to live. The Watts have just talked about that, haven't they? Testified to that. Maybe it's relationship disharmony. And if I was to be honest with you, one of the things that troubled my heart just a little bit this week is I thought there's potential for something to really cause disruption in our church unity. And it troubled my heart a little bit. But I'd also ask you this. Whatever you identify to be the thing that is troubling you, have you entrusted that to the Lord? Have you taken it to Him? Have you prayed about that? And maybe even are you brave enough to share that with someone else and ask them to pray with you about it? So let me commend that to you this morning as we think about verses 1 to 4. But I want to move us further on to that second section, which comes after the question, which Thomas asks. And Thomas asks the question, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is a pretty confronting statement. Jesus is saying that he is exclusively the way. But I believe it is exclusive and inclusive. Because some would say that that's very exclusive. And yes, Jesus has said that he is the narrow gate in Matthew 7. And just before in John, he says, I am. It's one of the I am statements, Greg. He says, I am the gate. So he is exclusively saying this is the place where you come through. I'm the gate. But in one sense, it's also very inclusive and amazing that if you come through that gate, you are included. You can actually come to God. You can know the Father. You can know the Lord himself. And so a statement that is amazingly exclusive, but amazingly inclusive as well. But don't lose it. It is an absolute. He is saying absolutely, I am the way. There is one way. There's one way that you come into the showground, you know, when they have the show on, or when we have Christmas on the plateau. You come in the showground entrance, right? When you go to Wattiego's Beach up there at Byron's Bay, there's one road. That's why it gets clogged all the time. There's one road kind of in and out. And the thing I learned about why the rescue took so long, when I watched the Four Corners rescue from the Thailand boys, the soccer boys and coach, was because they discovered there was only one way into this cave and one way out. And so it was going to take 3 hours to get an anaesthetised boy, each of the boys anaesthetised and out. There's one way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. There's only one truth. You know, they talk about the coach calling on his monk past or his training as monk past. But Jesus is saying, no, it's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not any other Hindu god. It's actually, I am the way. I'm the truth. You need to come through this way. He's not saying you can be sincere about any faith you want. He's saying, you need to have faith in me. And friends, let me say Thomas, he was here. He asked this question, and this is Jesus' reply to him. How do we know the way? Well, Thomas, the way is standing right before you, right in front of you. And so I want to ask you, do you know the way? Not everyone here or whoever comes to church every service knows the way personally and relationally. So I want to ask you, do you know the way? Do you know him? Have you entrusted your life to him? Because he is the life. Because he is the one who has exchanged his life. He has lived the life that you couldn't, the pure life, because your life is impure, but he's willing to actually give his life that you can have new life if you trust him. So I want to ask you very clearly, and you to ask yourself very clearly, have you entrusted yourself to Jesus with your life? Now, I have a group of guys who get together on Thursday, and there's three of them who are young in their Christian walk. And it's our little life group on Thursday night. And one of the guys said, we read this passage this week, he said, you know, that was me. I used to have that question, I didn't know. I couldn't work this out. But now his story is, he knows the way, and he's got a way of telling the story of how he came to know about the way. It's a beautiful thing. As people come to know the way to life. Well, our last section, and which we'll finish on, is that section which comes after the question of who? Who asked the third question or third statement? Philip, thank you. Philip says, he's exasperated, Lord, show us the Father, or can you show us the Father? In other kind of words. And this section here, we get some really amazing talk and deep talk about Trinitarian talk, which we have. God is three. God is three persons, one God. And this is Blessed Trinity that we talk of here. Last week I said, if you get God right, and if the Corinthian people get God right, Godhead three in one, then they get their gifts right and how they use their gifts and how they serve in the body. And this is one of my lines from last week. Our God is three in one, is his amazing truth. And I want to say that if you focus on the Trinitarian Godhead, he shows you insights into how our gifts work together and actually how our relationships with one another work together as well and the different roles we have, because there is great unity with diversity in the Godhead, who's Father, Son and Spirit. And I want to encourage and commend that to us again. Jesus says here, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. There's this indwelling, mutual indwelling, which is this amazing truth of the Trinity. And he says, you've seen the Son, well, you've seen the Father. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're reminded that if you see Jesus, he's the exact representation of the Father. Another word is the imprint of his nature. Yeah, so if you get the words, and he talks about the words, he talks about the miracles, let's read it there, verse 9 and following with me. Jesus said, do you not know, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is my Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus says, the words, when you have my words, you've got God's words. You see my works, you see the Father's works. I talk about the will, my will, and I do the Father's will. It's a little bit like this maybe. I don't know if you've had this. Have you ever talked to an old married Christian couple and you talk to one but you think you talk to two? You talk to them both. You talk to one and it's kind of like you talk to both. Well, maybe it's a little bit like that as you talk to the Father, you know, the Son, and feel like you've talked to the Son. As you're led by the Spirit, it feels like and you know that you're led by Jesus. There's a couple of things just to finish off here. In verse 12, he says, greater works. You may be thinking, what are these greater works? Well, it may be not necessarily greater miracles than Jesus, but greater in the opportunity that you have to share the gospel, this good news message you should go out because Jesus is going to the Father. And in verse 13, and this is kind of like three promises. He's promised that there's a place for them at the start. In 12, he promises them that they'll do greater things. And then in verse 13, he promises them that he'll give them whatever you ask. Now, at this point, boys start ordering Ferraris. But that might not be what God's will is for you. That might be my, with a little my, little m, my wants, or my will, rather than my being Jesus, capital M. And it doesn't mean that you just put hashtag in Jesus' name on the end of any prayer and you get it. No, this is if it is in the line with God's will and his character. You can ask these things in his name and he will give them. And maybe it's a little bit like this as a father asks a son. A father isn't going to grant his son anything if it's out of his will and out of his character. And so if a son comes to a father and says, hey, Dad, let's go to the strip club. And it's not in the father's will or in his nature to do that kind of stuff, so he's not going to grant that he does that. And it's like with God, if it's not in his nature or not in his will, he's not going to grant these things. But friends, as we finish, Jesus shows us the Father. And so let's keep our eyes fixed on him. Okay, that verse that Annette reminded us of from Hebrews. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And the Heavenly Father will provide for us eternally, yes. But even every daily bread, even each day for what we need. So keep calling out to him as well. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. Whatever troubles our hearts have. So take it to him in prayer, friends. And let's do that now in the prayer that he taught us to pray. Now there's different versions and that's okay. And there's different words of him. He knows them all. But let's pray it together now, the Lord's Prayer if you know it. We'll pray to our Heavenly Father. Let's do that together. Our Father in heaven, praise be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God bless you as you continue to look and focus your eyes on him.